Hashem accepted Shimshon's repentance and saved him with a miracle. This illustrates the power of tshuva. The eyes of Bnei Yisrael had always been on Shimshon. His holiness, his naziris, bound together with his greatness in Torah, was an inspirational sight for all. After witnessing the miraculous events of this last battle, Klal Yisrael recognized Shimshon to be the greatest tzaddik alive. They realized that Shimshon was a true servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that his actions were in accordance with the Eibishter's will. Shimshon became the leader of Bnei Yisrael. Vayishpot es Yisrael bimei plishtim esrim shana, and Shimshon judged Yisrael in the days of the plishtim for 20 years. Although the plishtim continued to rule, they let up in their oppression. After all, Shimshon had single-handedly dealt them some very severe blows, and they were afraid that all of Yisrael would revolt if they oppressed them. This fear caused them to pass a new law that no sword be found in Israel. Shimshon was not bothered by this, for he now had other concerns. His great name in Israel, and as a man of God and a man of war, helped to strengthen his people, following the example of their great leader during his 20 years of reign. A new generation arose, spiritually complete, true servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, comparable to their leader in every way. This new Dar was worthy of victories in battle, for the people had perfected themselves, and Hashem would be with them once again. These were the fathers of the generation of Shaul and David, a generation that understood what had happened to Shimshon, never doubting his great and holy ways. With the picture of Shimshon opposite their eyes, they conquered the Plishtim. And so, the words that the Malach had told Tzlelponus, he will begin to rescue Yisrael from the hands of the Plishtim, came true. It was through Shimshon's influence that the great generation of Shaul and David came to be.
But isn't there more to the story of Shimshon?
Oh yes, we're coming to that. Perek Tes Zayin, the final chapter. I just wanted to make clear the fact that Shimshon had already brought a large percentage of salvation to the Jewish people during his 20 years as Shofet, prior to the events that occurred in this next chapter. Now, after 20 years had passed, Shimshon realized that Klal Yisrael had been uplifted sufficiently. The influence of the holy tzaddik Eli HaKohen on the people had grown great. He would be the next Shofet of Klal Yisrael. The people were turning to Eli more and more. Shimshon realized that his role as Shofet had been fulfilled. Although somewhat subdued, the bad influence of the Plishtim and their idolatry was still present. Ruach HaKodesh told Shimshon that it was now time for him to deal the Plishtim another blow. Once again, Shimshon would disguise his actions. He went to an inn in Aza and started a rumor that Shimshon was in town.
General Fichel, we've locked the city gates.
Good. Men of Aza, let's not let this chance slip us by. Remember what Shimshon did to us. Are you a bunch of weaklings? We've got him now. He's trapped here. Are we gonna let him get away? We're gonna catch him and destroy him. We will lie quietly here at the city gate. In the morning light, we'll kill him as he attempts to leave the city. We have waited almost a quarter of a century for this opportunity. When day comes, he will be ours. Are you with me, men of Aza? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank
General,
you. Thank you.
I hear dreadful footsteps.
Not now, Plishti. Can't you see I'm busy?
General, I think it's...
Not now.
But General, Shimshon...
Yes, Plishti, don't worry. We'll get Shimshon in the morning when he tries to leave the city.
But General, I'm trying to...
I don't want to hear about it. We'll get him in the morning. It's midnight. Now, will you just sit quiet?
But General... I see outside. It looks like the long hair. The muscular arms. It's...
Oh, no. You're right. It's Shimshon. Outside. We're not prepared. Men of Aza, this is our chance. Men of Aza, are you with me? Men of Aza?
Men of Azza? Men of Azza? Men. Men of. Lishti. I think we're alone. The men of Azza aren't prepared to attack, General. They're spellbound. All eyes on Shimshon. Look! He's taking hold of the locked gates.
He's ripping them out of the ground, along with their posts. Those gates are 100 feet wide. He's carrying them in his shoulders. What brute strength. He looks like he's heading to the top of the mountain that overlooks Hebron. What a spectacle. I would have never believed that it was possible. How dreadful.
He's as strong as ever. Our chances of killing him are nil.
We better ease up on the Jews as well. We don't want to get him angry. He's a madman. There's no telling what he can do. The way he moves around, you'd never believe he was in his 50s. After all these years, I was so sure he'd grown weaker. But I was obviously wrong.
Thank you.
Vayehi achrei kein, vayehav isha benachel sorek, ushma delila. The Plishtim was shaken once again. Shimshon had to go into hiding. His act of strength showed that he was terminating his peaceful period with them. He could not return to Yisrael and endanger the Jews. Thus, Shimshon took refuge in the area of Nachal Sorek. There he met a woman who seemed to have very righteous character traits. Her name was Delilah. Some authorities maintain that she was a Jewess, while others hold that she was a Plishti woman who Shimshon converted. Shimshon married Delilah, and they lived in Nachal Sorek. In those days, the Plishtim were ruled by a council of five governors, Sironim, each representing a main city. Shimshon's whereabouts were discovered, but rather than confront him in battle, the Sironim decided to catch him through other means. They journeyed up to his wife, and each offered her 1,100 pieces of silver to discover the source of his strength so that they could imprison him. They promised her that they would not kill Shimshon. They said they just wanted to protect their people. Delilah agreed to their plan.
But how could she betray her husband?
Her evil inclination led her to believe she was doing Shimshon a favor. Shimshon was a fugitive whose life was constantly in danger. He was growing old. How much longer would he be able to fight back? Thus, she jumped at their offer when they promised to spare his life. Little did she realize that her lust for the bribe of silver was causing her to betray him. The bribe had blinded her. She turned to Shimshon and asked, "What is the source of your strength, and with what can you be tied up so that you can be subdued?" Not wishing to reveal the source of his strength, Shimshon replied, "If I will be bound with 7 moist bowstrings that have not been dried, I will become weak and be as one of the people." The governors brought up to her 7 moist bowstrings that had not been dried. Shimshon allowed himself to be bound with them, and Delilah bound him. The Plishtim were waiting in ambush nearby. It had always been Delilah's job to warn Shimshon of any oncoming danger. To make it appear that she was unaware of the oncoming ambush, Delilah cried out in warning, "Plishtim are upon you, Shimshon!" He broke the bowstrings like a strand of unspun flax is broken when it smells fire. The strings broke so easily, it appeared as though he did not use any strength. Then Delilah said to Shimshon, "Behold, you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me now, with what can you be bound? If you bind me using new ropes, with which work has not been done, then I shall be weak and be like one of the people." So Delilah took new ropes and bound him. Then she said, "Plishtim are upon you, Shimshon." The ambushers were nearby, but he snapped the ropes from his arms like a thread. Delilah said to Shimshon, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me, with what can you be tied?" He said to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my hair on a loom." This Delilah did while Shimshon slept. She fastened his hair on the loom with a stake and said to him, "Plishtim are upon you, Shimshon." He awoke from his sleep and carried away the weaving stake and the loom. She said to him, "How can you say I care for you when your heart is not with me? These 3 times you have mocked me, and you have not told me what makes your strength so great." Vayehi ki heitzika loy vidvareha kol hayomim, vata'altsehu vatikzar nafshoi lomus. And it was when she pressed him with her words all the days, and she nagged him, that his soul became vexed to death. Shimshon then told her all his heart. He said to her, "A razor has never come on my head, for I am a Nazir of Hashem from my mother's womb. If I will be shaven, then my strength will leave, and I will become weak and be like any other man." Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, and she sent and called to the governors of the Plishtim, saying, "Come up this time, for he told me all his heart." The governors of the Plishtim went up to her and brought the silver themselves. Delilah put Shimshon to sleep and called in a man to shave off his 7 locks of hair. She began to afflict Shimshon while he was asleep, and she found that his strength had left him. She then said aloud, "Shimshon, the Plishtim are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out like the other times, and I will make myself strong." But Shimshon did not know that Hashem had left him. The Plishtim seized him and put out his eyes. They brought him down to Aza and bound him in copper chains. Then Shimshon was forced to turn the mill in prison.
Amazing, General. I've never seen such a large group of people. The temple is so crowded. I see all of the Philistine nobles. Even the lowest-ranking officers are here. There are over 3,000 people just on the roof's edge, and who knows how many altogether.
Well, naturally, Plishti. Duggan, our idol, has given Shimshon, our enemy, into our hands. We have waited long for this moment, and have all come to offer great sacrifice and rejoice.
What's all that laughing, General?
That's the nation on the roof. They have a good view of Shimshon in prison. They find it funny, and so do I. Fellow Plishtim, our gods have delivered our enemy, the destroyer of our land, who killed so many of us, into our hands. Rejoice! Rejoice! Rejoice!
General, the governors have instructed us to bring Shimshon to entertain the people.
Very well, Plishti. Let's get him from prison.
And every time I feel my hair growing back, it reminds me of how you uplifted me all those years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know that I have sinned. Please,
just a little further,
forgive
me,
and let my prayers atone for my sin.
We're almost there.
And for all of Klal Yisrael.
There he is. I think I heard him pray. Here we are. That's his cell.
Well, don't just stand there. Open it up. Oh, Shimshon. How pathetic. Truly an eye-watering sight. Praying again, huh? Good. You'll need every prayer you can get. Look at you now, on your feet. We're taking a little walk. Come on, move. Let's go. Faster, faster.
I fell. I didn't realize there was anything in my path.
There wasn't. I tripped you. Get up. Move. Here we are, Plishti. Take Shimshon and stand him between the two pillars that support the temple.
All right, Shimshon, come with me.
Here. You are his calling.
Stand between these two pillars. Boy.
Yes, sir.
Stand next to Shimshon. Hold his hand. I'm going to join the fun.
Shimshon, Shimshon. Look what our idol Duggan has done to you!
Boy, let go of my hand, and let me feel the pillars on which the temple rests, so that I can lean on them.
Look at your Shimshon.
Hashem, throughout my imprisonment, I have tried my hardest to do teshuvah. Please accept my teshuvah. Let my life end by sanctifying your name and the name of Yisrael. Remember me now and strengthen me only this one time, Elohim. Let me take revenge for one of my two eyes from the Plishtim.
Shimshon, he's pushing the pillars that hold up the temple! It's collapsing! building! The building is collapsing!
Temple collapsed, killing the many thousands of Plishtim within, taking Shimshon's life as well. Yaakov Avinu foresaw this event and prayed that as the temple collapsed, Shimshon would not be buried in the rubble. The dead Plishtim fell backwards. Shimshon was easily distinguished. His brothers and all his father's house went down and carried him and brought him up. They buried him between Tzora and Eshtol in the grave of his father Manoach. And he had judged Yisrael for 20 years. Shimshon left a great impression on Klal Yisrael. For 20 years after his death, they retained the high spiritual level he had helped them achieve. The Plishtim continued to dread him for 20 years after his death.
Was Shimshon's death a punishment?
No, certainly not. It was a fulfillment of his role in life. Throughout his entire lifetime, Shimshon's actions were all righteous. The stern voice of prophecy, which did not spare the honor of Moshe, Aaron, and David, did not criticize Shimshon. His record was blameless. Chazal tell us that because he relied too much on his own judgment, Hashem ordained that the Plishtim take out his eyes. If not for the strict judgment of Shemayim, we could have never criticized Shimshon. And even now, we can only repeat the words of Chazal without truly understanding what Shimshon did wrong.
Rabbi Shapiro, why did Shimshon meet such an end, and what can we learn from this?
HaKadosh Baruch Hu wished to show that Shimshon's mission of intermingling with the Goyim to save Yisrael was unique, a Horah Shah, and not meant for anyone else to copy. Shimshon understood this, and therefore seized this golden opportunity to sanctify the name of Hashem. Shimshon, the purest of men, purified himself even more with this final dramatic act of service to Hashem. This is the purity that Hashem sought from him. We must strive to understand the greatness of our ancestors and never allow perverters of truth to influence our thoughts. We will forever strive to comprehend the greatness of our beloved Shaifet, Shimshon.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Rabbi Shapiro. Now that we have learned the story of Shimshon through the eyes of Chazal, I have a much clearer understanding of this great tzaddik.
Nitof avos! Nitof avos! A gut moed! Here, let me escort you to the door.
Agut Moed!
Agut Moed! Agut Moed! Agut Moed! Shimshon!